20 and verse 11.
And him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them.
All right. Now here we have the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment. And by the way, here it is over here. See the white throne? This chart tells you everything, by the way. Just, if you take this chart and just memorize this chart, or just carry it in your Bible, if you ever have problems with what takes place where, just go to this little old chart and it'll tell you. And it'll also give you the scriptures that are relating to that. So here we have the great white throne judgment, and 2 Peter 3:10 through 13, Revelation 21 and verse 11, 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. And you go on down here and you'll see this, the judgment. Revelation 20, 11 through 15. Guess where we are? See how that relates? All right. The great white throne judgment. We're almost the end of time. How many of you are looking forward to this? This is a pretty exciting thing, isn't it? Get to shed the old bodies and just leave all the old aches and pains behind and all of that. 20 and verse 11, I saw a throne, we get our word throne right out of that Greek word, mega. You know what when you go to McDonald's and mega size something, that's big. A great white throne, leuka, leukon, leukemia is from that word. And the one sitting upon it, from whom his face, the heavens and the earth, fled away from him, and no place was found for them. All right. In 1 Peter 3, see, we go right back to the chart. 2 Peter, that is, not 1 Peter, but 2 Peter 3, 10 through 13. Let's go look at that. 2 Peter 10 through 13. 2 Peter 3, 10 through 13. You over there, Mike? All right. What's it say over there?
But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells.
All right. And Romans? Romans, the 14th chapter, verses 10 through 12. Romans 14, 10 through 12. Are you over there, Brother Rex?
Almost there.
Or Linda?
Nope.
Romans 14, 10. Romans 14, 10 through 12. All right. Are you over there, John? You're there, aren't you?
10 and 12, for there is no distinction.
14?
14:10.
14:10?
Well,
I was looking at
10. Okay. All right. Go ahead, Shirley.
But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. And then each of us shall be give account of himself to God.
Now this is kind of unusual right there. It's kind of jumping 1,000 years, isn't it? We start off at the judgment seat of Christ, which is a good place. All right. And then we jump over to the great white throne judgment. So here we have Paul doesn't make a separation between the two, but between the judgment seat right here, okay, Christ coming in glory, and the great white throne judgment is 1,000 years. All right, 1,007 years, actually. And anyway, we have all this taking place over here, the judgment. Well, here, the lost are judged. And over here, the saved are judged. These two, right? I think there's probably a double judgment right here in the very beginning, and then what happens to all of those saints in the tribulation period, okay? You understand that, or you have questions on that? All right. We have the saved raptured here. They are judged at that time. There are saints during the tribulation period that will die for the testimony of Christ, and there, and evidently at the end of this period, there must be another judgment. This is what people think, okay? Then we have 1,000 years, millennium on the earth. That's what we studied for quite a while. And then at the end of this period of time, we have another judgment, the great white throne judgment. And this great white throne judgment, the world, the Adamic, the humanistic man will get what they want. Men always have the idea that they're going to go to heaven by what? By their good works. Well, this judgment is a judgment of works, what you have done. This one is all on works. That's it. But you don't get to go into heaven at all. You're judged at this, not you. Thank goodness for that. The lost world is judged at that period of time of what part in hell they're going to be. There are degrees in heaven and there are degrees in hell. Now, hell is going to be a varied place. There's going to be some places in hell, it says, that are a lot more tolerable than others. Hell is not a good place to be. How many of you want to be in hell? Anybody want to be in hell? Why, people say, tell you to go to hell all the time. Because they don't like you or something wrong with them. But I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing in hell that I want. Nothing. But this whole judgment is for the place in hell that they're going to occupy. Okay? That's all about it.
On that, when everybody goes up in the rapture and then it says that you're judged.
Yeah.
Well, if he says that all your sins are forgiven and they'll never be brought up again, what is your judgment there? Is it?
Okay. When you're saved, you are saved forevermore. But what you do with yourself after you're saved, you're going to answer for.
So
okay?
It depends on if you stay with
for God. One thing, you're going to be judged right now. Your sins are paid for in your body. If you're a saved person and you go out and do what you want to do, it's going to cost you right now. And not only that, but they're going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth among God's people up there. They're going to be some real sad people because they didn't do. When they come before the Lord, they're going to be unhappy.
Shame.
They're going to be shamed. We talked about that earlier. There's going to be some real weeping up there because people did not serve the Lord. God doesn't leave you on this earth to take care of yourself and do your own thing. That's not the reason why he leaves you behind. You're left behind when you're his to serve him and to glorify him and to bring others to the Lord. Okay? That's why you're left here. You're not left here to do your own thing. That's not why we left on this earth. All right? We have to have a home to live in, a roof overhead, and the biggest part of everything you're doing right now is medical treatment and everything is so you get enough medical treatment to stay alive. It's a real tribulation period. My wife wanting to run off to Canada or someplace. Our medical bills are more than what we have. Well, we have to do a certain amount of making a living. In that's just what you have to do. But that's not why we're left in the world. We're left here to witness and to study and to glorify God with our lives. You can glorify God with your life out there in that, what's that hazardous waste thing where you are, Brother Mike?
Anywhere. Yeah,
wherever you are.
Is that judgment for the rewards or...
The first one is for what we do with ourselves. The second one is this judgment, the white throne judgment, is for one reason. That's to what hot spot in hell you get.
She was talking about the saved people that are there. Is that there's only one, and that's where you get the reward, right?
Right here.
Or
at the beginning of the tribulation period, there's all of God's people and all his church and all of the saved are raptured. They're taken up to God. And you will answer right there for what you've done. With your life after you've been saved. Okay? Now, you're not going to go to hell. That judgment has nothing to do with hell. It's just your place in heaven. Okay? There is a tribulation period down on earth. While we're in heaven, it is what we call a wedding week. It's called Daniel's week. Okay? Daniel talks about the tribulation period. And God, while the Lord is having his wedding feast in heaven, the earth is turned loose with Satan. Satan is turned loose on earth for this period of time here. And the Lord is up here with his church in glory. All the saved are at the wedding feast. There's people, they're guests at the wedding, and there is the bride. And there's servants there. There's all kinds of people down there. Maybe if you don't serve the Lord here, maybe you'll get the ditch digger in heaven. You know, I mean, that's the way it is, Brother Mike.
Satan's restrained right now, right?
Satan.
He'll be unrestrained during the tribulation.
He is restrained to a certain extent right now, and there are demons that are not turned loose on humanity at all. They will all be turned loose. All of his forces will be turned loose on the earth during that tribulation period. Okay? That's demonic powers are going to be rampant. Okay? There are demon-possessed people in the world today. A lot of it's in false religion. There's a lot of demonic power in false religion. There is. What keeps people from coming to the Lord? Demons. In religion, yes. Okay? Here we have a judgment. At the end here, we probably have a judgment of some sort. I don't know exactly what it's like or anything, but I'm sure they're going to have a judgment at the end. Then we have the millennial reign where the Lord comes back here. By the way, he comes back at the middle of the week and starts protecting his nation Israel, doesn't he? So they aren't all destroyed. And then the Lord comes back on a white horse. There at the end of that time, probably riding Peanut there. She'll be a big horse then. And goes and brings everything. We're going to be spectators of the Lord winning this war, okay? Spectators of the Lord winning this war. And then God brings in he restores his kingdom of Israel. Israel serves him for 1,000 years. He is glorified through Israel. This is what Israel should have done way back over yonder. Okay, way back over here, they should have been glorifying God like they will over here. They're going to have at least 1,000 Feast of Tabernacles and being praising to God. Will people be executed that time? Will people be forced to serve God? Yes, because there's going to be 1/6 of the world going there in their live bodies, and people are Adamic. They are evil. Mankind is not going to get better. Everybody all thinks the world's going to be a better place. And you know, the old idea was that mankind's going to get so good that we're just going to have to say, come on, Lord, come on down here. We got your kingdom set up already for you. That's hogwash, people. That's not the way the earth is. Well, here we have the great white throne judgment at the end of that. This is when Satan now, remember, down here, Revelation 27 through 9 that we studied last week, Satan is put in the bottomless pit, and all mankind is not influenced by Satan or any demonic powers at all for 1,000 years. Only their bad nature gets them in trouble. They cannot say the devil made me do it there at all. Then, at the end of that period of time, now last week, we studied about Gog and Magog, remember? Who Gog and Magog? Genesis 10 and verse 2. Gog and Magog have always been problem children, okay? Their name means warriors, instigators, battlers, whatever. Well, Satan's going to go and grab them up, and we've got the battle of Gog and Magog at the end of the period of time here, and then there's nothing else, okay? That's the end of it. During this period of time now, we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth also. 2 Peter 3:10 through 13, Revelation 21 and 1, and 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. In the meanwhile, let's look and see what happens to the lost people. Okay, now we have the judgment for the lost people. Everybody wants to be judged by their own merits. The Muslim world says that no man answers for the sin of anyone else. Of course, that does away with Jesus Christ, doesn't it? They said every man answers for his own sins only. And you are judged according to what good you've done. counter with about what evil you've done. So if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, then you're okay. You're going to get into heaven. No, that there is a judgment like that, and that's this judgment right here, your good deeds and your bad deeds. It's going to be what place in hell you're going to get. Okay?
And that's for the lost?
That's for the lost.
Okay, what about the ones that are waiting up there in heaven, and they have a certain degree of judgment?
That's what we've already talked about, Marilyn. We already have these judgments here. They've already been judged. All of God's people are judged. God's people, the Lord's churches, judged angels already. The angels have already been judged. All that's done. Everything's, all of the judged, all of the saved people have been judged by now. All right? Okay, now what happens to all these people in here? Some of them get to go, I guess they get to be translated at the end of it and taken into the new heaven and the new earth. Because they surely can't go in there in their bodies, in their natural body. And there's going to be millions of people in their natural bodies. So they're going to be translated into the new kingdom, evidently. And they'll have 1,000 years to believe.
The only unsaved people in the 1,000-year kingdom have to be born then.
They're going to have to be saved over there too.
They'll have to be born in the kingdom, otherwise yep. They were saved before.
Yep. So. Mm-hmm. These people, there are going to be people born. There's going to be millions of people born during this period of time. But they will have to believe in the blood of Jesus Christ just like we do today. All right? We all look back to it here. They look forward to it over here. They look forward to believing that the Lord would save them. Why, even Eve says, I have gotten a man, even the Lord. Even Adonai, even Jehovah. All right. 12 and verse 12. Now, the third time is a charm, what I wrote down here in my notes, my commentary. God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1 and 1. And the earth she became formless and void in Genesis 1 and 2. It says, Barashith, Bara, Elohim, Eth, Hashemayim, we Eth, Haaretz. And then it says, Vihaaretz. Hathya tuhu avuhu. And the earth, she became formless and void. Something happened. God created the heavens, the earth. He finished the heavens, the earth. And then she became formless and void. You're going to get into this a lot. Probably I'm going to teach the book of Genesis on Sunday night. Will that make you happy? Mm-hmm. All right. That you guys be happy about that? All right. I talked about it. We showed a film this morning on the creation. The Jews believe that God created a chaos like the Babylonian. That when they got over there in the Babylonian captivity, it stuck to them. And when they came out, when they translated the Greek or the Hebrew into Greek, they translated it just exactly like King James is. The earth was formless and void. I wish I had my Hebrew Bible here that I read this morning. It says, and the earth began to be created. But that's not what it says in Hebrew. It says the earth was finished and created, and the earth she became formless and void. Brother X.
Or wasn't the Babylonians pagans?
Yeah. But they believed that the Creator created a chaos, and out of chaos He brought order. But that's not what happened. What happened here is God created perfection, a complete earth, heaven and earth, and it became disorder. Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. Okay? There's a whole lot of difference in that, people. But your King James Bible, and the earth was formless and void. The Hebrews, their translation, and the earth remained a chaos and formless void. That's not what happened. It became that way because of sin and rebellion. Okay? All right. God created the heavens and the earth. In verse 1 and 2, it says, and the earth became formless and void. Then God rebuilt and reconstructed the earth in Genesis 1 and 3, 4. That's the reconstruction of the earth. That is not the initial creation, it's a reconstruction. But if people would only believe the Bible. You got these young earth people out there now today, totally ignoring the Bible. Totally ignoring. Well, the earth, nothing here is over 6,000 years old. Mankind isn't over 6,000 years old, I can guarantee you that. But the earth could be millions of years old because in the original creation, God created the heavens and the earth a long time ago. But they don't know the scriptures. That's the problem.
Jim, that's where all those dinosaurs and all that stuff.
That's right.
It makes sense.
Yeah. Well, it not.
Real science agrees with the Bible. Everybody's always trying to make some excuse of how their pet theory of something is. A long time ago, it was a Babylonian idea of creation. When Israel retranslated the scriptures from Hebrew into Greek, they translated and interpreted the Babylonian idea of creation in it. Jerome, in the Latin Vulgate, he did the same thing. And then when the King James was translated, it was translated from the Latin Vulgate back into Greek at one time, and then from that into the King James Bible. The King James Bible believed in the Babylonian idea of creation. And then the Catholic Church, as it formed, began to fall in that the earth was the center of everything. But what the Bible says, Barashith bara, in one of the beginnings, Barashith, all right, in one of the beginnings, plural, created, finished product, the heavens and the earth. The heavens, first of all, the heavens, Hashemayim. The heavens. God created all the universe, and then he placed the earth exactly where he wanted it. To be the place of the center of his life. The Catholic Church got that, and I mean, they were beating up Galileo and all of these guys that were looking at the heavens and saying, well, the earth, the universe doesn't revolve around the earth. We revolve around the sun. Well, their idea of creation was different, so they were castigating everybody that believed that. In all reality, the Bible says that the earth and everything revolves in a circuit. And the earth is not flat. Remember? When the earth was taught by the Catholic Church is flat, that was theology to them, but the Bible doesn't teach that. If you just go back to the Bible, if all the Christians would only study the Bible in the original languages, if they'd only do that, they'd get past all of their problems and all their little pets. They have got a young earth museum someplace back east and Texas or Tennessee or someplace, I don't know where it is, Missouri or someplace back there, showing you how that the earth was created only 6,000 years ago. But they don't read the Hebrew scriptures. So they're resting the scriptures.
That's some sort of a Christian outfit?
Yes, it's some sort of a Christian defunct outfit. And I can say that with assurance because I know what the Hebrew says. It does not say what they say it says. All right? All right. Genesis 1 and 3 is the reconstruction, the rebuilding of the earth. So we have an original earth. It says we have three heavens. All right? We have the original heaven. Okay? The original heaven that God created in Barashith Bara. All right? In the beginning, God created the heavens. Okay? That was destroyed by Satan, wasn't it? Then God, number 2, the second one, God reconstructed it, didn't he? All right? He reconstructed it. And then what did he do to it? Because of mankind over here, what did God do over here?
He destroyed it.
He destroyed all living things off the earth with a flood.
Aren't we in the second one now?
Mabul. Huh?
Aren't we living on the second earth right now?
We're living on the second earth, but he destroyed...
He changed it. He didn't destroy it, right?
He destroyed life only. The earth is the same. Mabul, that's the word. Mabul, from the flood. All right, from the flood. He destroyed everything off the face of it, but the earth stayed the same. What else did he do? He divided the continents. He changed the earth in that way too, didn't he? He divided the continents. Why did God divide the continents?
People wouldn't separate.
So he could straighten them out so they wouldn't get so much, so they wouldn't combine together and cause so much evil. What you do is when you got a troublemaker in a class, you put him over there in a corner with a dunce hat on him and get him away from everybody so the class doesn't have a problem, doesn't it? Isn't that what they used to do in school? Get the troublemaker and put him in a corner with a dunce hat on? Put him up here to deal with his nose in a circle or something like that? Well, that's what God did to mankind. Had to separate them just a little bit to keep them under control. Now, where are we? The world's got into a real small place. We can understand each other's languages and everything else, and we can do a whole lot of harm again, huh? if God doesn't intervene. So God is going to intervene again. Brother John.
Maybe I shouldn't say it, but is that why all the liberals congregate in big cities?
Well, all, I think your liberals and your conservatives congregate in the big cities because that's where the power is. God never expected or wanted mankind to live in big cities, did he? No. Never wanted that. That's not the way. And there's where all of your power is. It doesn't matter. If God zapped New York City and Washington, D.C. and a few places like that and Philadelphia, my grandma used to sing a song about a Philadelphia lawyer. Remember that? I remember singing that song about that Philadelphia lawyer. He was courting Wild Bill's girlfriend. He caught him. He caught him there, and there was one less Philadelphia lawyer in old Philadelphia tonight. I don't. You remember what I'm talking about? A lot of people out there in radio land won't even know. That's an old, old cowboy song. All right, number three. God shall purge, purify, and restore, and make new, renovate the heavens and the earth in 2 Peter 3:10 through 13 that we read. Who read that earlier? That's Brother Mike. All right, let's look at that one more time. 2 Peter 3:10 through 13, that's where we are. I want to get you guys up to snuff here on this thing. All right. My grandma used to tell me a long time ago, Grams, she used to tell me, she said, Jimmy, when you grow up a little bit, if you'll get a little bit of snuff and have a little snuff every day, you'll never get worms. Well, when my grandpa, I tell you what, when my grandpa died, that was 1953, I think. When my grandfather died, I went in there, and my mother's here, maybe she'll remember this. I went in there and I saw that jar of snuff setting up on that window in the kitchen for so long, and there was a spoon in there, and my grandma used to get that stuff. Well, I thought that looked like chocolate. I thought it looked like chocolate. I did. I thought it was going to taste like chocolate. I went in there and got me a bunch of that and threw it in my mouth, and I'm going to tell you what, I turned green. You remember that, Mama?
Did it have a cork?
Oh, I was sick.
Did it have a cork in it?
No, it had a little tin lid on it. That cork one was a different one.
That was in a glass.
This was in a glass. I still got the glasses at home. I've still got some of them.
Garrett
Snuff. Yeah. Garrett Snuff. I'll tell you what, if you take that stuff, you won't get worms. You'll never get worms. You can put it in your hen nest and they won't have lice on them either. Because lice don't like the snuff either. All these old remedies, you know. Old remedies. Are you over there, Brother Mike? That give you enough time.
2 Peter 3:10-13. Okay. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells.
All right, what's going to happen to the earth one of these days? When you, how many of you ever made bullets? Anybody in here ever made bullets where you melt lead and stuff like that? I was out in the backyard yesterday shooting, and my neighbor came out there. I was shooting a .45 out there, and I was picking up some lead off the ground and putting it in this. And I've got about 100 pounds of lead out there that I've shot. Anyway, and I went over, and he said, what are you going to do with all that? And I said, well, I'm going to. He said, how can you get that apart like that? I said, you get it hot, and you melt it, and all the dross falls to the top, and you scrape off all the dross, and then you got nothing but pure lead. That's what the Lord's going to do to the heavens and the earth. He's going to purify it by purging it. Purify it. That's how you do gold. When you melt gold like that, it separates, doesn't it, till you have pure gold. Silver, you separate it. It'll separate from the lead or the other metals that are with it. It'll separate. All the dross will melt off and float to the top. Only the heavy metal will there. The earth will be purified just like that. All the dross will be gone. All the sin. And I'm going to be glad when I don't have to see sin anymore, smell it, taste it, or hear it. It'll be refreshed. It'll be like new. It'll be refreshed. It'll be new in quality. New in quality. Okay? It's going to be the same one. You can't destroy matter. But what you can do is you can purify it. When you go into the dentist's office or the doctor's office, do they go get dirty tools to work on your mouth with? Oh, not. They bring them out sterilized. They are sterilized. They're the same ones they use in some old body's dirty mouth before. Your mouth is about as dirty as thing there is. Well, there's a lot of germs in your mouth. I'm telling you. And they have to purify these tools. That's the way the earth is going to be purified. It's going to be purified one of these days. Everything is going to be starch, fresh, new, pure, perfect, sinless.
Who's going to be on the new earth then?
You, if you want to be.
No, I mean,
oh, I think we'll be travelers. I really think we'll travel throughout the universe. There'll probably be classes all over telling us how God did this and how God that. Of course, we're going to get to see a whole lot of it, aren't we? We're going to get to see the earth purged and purified.
Can you travel?
We're going to be with us. Huh?
Can you go in the past and watch creation the first time?
I don't know, Brother Mike.
See,
I think God's going to tell us how he did it and probably show us how he did it. All right, 3 and 12 now. Let's go read that. 3 and verse 12. Brother Rex, are you over there? 20 and verse 12. What am I talking about?
Yeah,
Revelation 20 and 12.
See, and I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. And books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds.
All right, now here... Oh, go ahead. Any more there?
And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every one of them according to their deeds.
All right. Now here we have a judgment according to works. People always want to be judged according to their works. There are some real good lost people, I'm telling you people. There are some people that are really nice people that are lost. There are. But they're all going to hell. But there are going to be different compartments in hell. I don't want to be there. I don't have to be there either. That's nice. That's it. I'm not going to be there. Okay? But there are going to be places in hell that are more tolerable. Jesus said when he was going around the Sea of Galilee, Galilee means what? What does Galilee mean? He was going around all those cities around the Sea of Galilee. What does Galilee mean? Anybody remember? Circle. The circle, the lake is a circle. Around the cities of that lake, Jesus went around there and he said, "Whoa, Chorazin, whoa, this city, and whoa, that city, whoa." Because of the works had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah that were done here, they all would have repented with sackcloth and ashes. It is more tolerable, it will be more tolerable in the day of judgment for Sodom and Gomorrah than it will be for those that are lost that saw the Lord and rejected him. All right. More tolerable. What does that mean? There are going to be places in the hell that are more tolerable than other places. How about the rapist and the child molesters and the murderers and the Jeffrey Dahmer type people and the Hitler type people and the Jim Jones type people? Yeah, Jim Jones is in hell. He really is. Jim Jones is in hell. He was a demonic, devil-inspired person to lead all these people and kill. How many people died? 900 people died, was it? At his hands? All of his followers? You think he's going to have a hot place in hell? You think he's going to be judged heavy? Didn't he preach the word of God and lead people astray? Yeah. I have heard people testify that they almost got into that movement. I have known people that heard him preach and thought he was a great guy. And he had great movement and a great philosophy and everything else. And they almost went that way. All right. And I saw the dead, the necros, all right? The dead ones, the ones great and the ones small, big ones and little shots and big shots, okay? The little shots and the big shots. There's going to be some very famous people in hell. And there's going to be some very insignificant people in hell. That's what it means. Down in the presence of the throne, and the books were opened, the Biblia, the scrolls were opened. Okay? They were opened up, and then another scroll, it was opened up, which is the scroll of life. Okay? Living deeds. Life's deeds. Everything that you have been done in your life is recorded. Everything that every lost person does in life is recorded. Absolutely. They're not going to get there. Nothing slipped past God. Nothing at all.
Well, why does he say that your sins are forgotten then?
You as a person, what, Brother Mike?
The lost judgment, this is, right?
Okay, this is a judgment for the lost. This is not saved people at all. These are, now, the saved people, like I said, you have to pay in this life for the sins that you commit after you're saved. You don't get by, you don't get off scot-free. It costs you. Okay, simple as that. You will be ashamed when you come before God for what you've done if you haven't done the right things after you've been saved. Brother Rex. This is for all lost.
They're all lost.
All lost. Now, I guess there's a like I said earlier, I guess there's a judgment for these people that are saved. Somehow or another, God's got to translate them and put them in this new heaven and new earth. He has to make their bodies. In other words, he's going to have to change them, like rapture them, to put them into this deal. They're not going to have natural bodies. This is, for 1,000 years, the reason for this millennium is to show mankind he's going to sin regardless of Satan. He wants to. He wants to do it. It's not the devil made me do it. It's I did it. All right? If they're in the garden, in Genesis, the third chapter. In Genesis, the third chapter, it says, and the Nahash, and Satan, was more deceptive than all of the beasts of the field. Then he talked to the woman. And then when God, first of all, after they had sinned and they sewed together their false religious fig leaves on their little bodies, and fig leaves don't feel very good. False religion never gives you a security. It just doesn't. Okay? After they... What are you after, Mike?
Nothing.
Okay.
Where were they blowing?
Okay. I thought there's a wasp or a hornet in here. So. False religion never can give you any security. Can it? Everybody in every false religious system has always worried about something. They're always worried about something. Worried whether they're not going to quite make it. If they did quite enough to get there. Alright? False religious system is worrisome. In the truth, I remember Billy Hawkins. If he was here, he'd tell you the same thing. He came to my classes. He came out of 30 years of false religion. He came to my class in an Armenian church. That's where he was. False religion. Came in my class. After a couple of years, he came up to me, and tears was in his eyes. He said, Brother Jim, today I realized that I get to go to heaven. I have realized that I'm going to get to go to heaven. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, this is wonderful. I realize I'm saved today. He saved 30 years, but he didn't know it because he was in a false religious system. All of a sudden, he hears the truth, and then he knows that he's been saved and he's going to be there. That's for sure. Isn't that nice? To know that you're going to get to go to heaven. Period. All right? We're not all perfect. We don't get to... I mean, we're not perfect after we're saved, but we do get to go to heaven. That's the part that's good. All right? All right. And the books which opened up, the book of the living deeds... And they were judged, the dead ones, out of the things having been written in the scrolls according to the works of them or their deeds. They're judged according to their deeds, all right. They're judged. All right, 20 and verse 13. We're moving along here. 20 and verse 13, Brother John, are you there? You haven't got to read tonight, have you?
And the city gave up the dead which was in them, were in it. And death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds.
All right, they were judged according to their deeds. These are the lost people. The lost people will be resurrected in their unglorified bodies. We are going to be saved. People are going to be resurrected in glorified bodies. Are you guys getting too cold? Is it too chilly for you? No, yes, a little bit, somewhat.
I see some of you swarming around there. All right. Turn it up just a tiny bit.
Where was I? There are a lot of dead people's bodies out in the ocean. Did you know that? They've been recycled. Fish ate them. They ate the fish, and fish ate the fish, and fish ate the fish. Recycled. That's what you call recycling, okay? And they're all over. The atomic structure of these human beings is not going to escape God. Their DNA is out there, and it's marked. I can guarantee you. It's there. Everybody's DNA is different from everybody else's. You can tell who your mama and your daddy is by your DNA, but everybody is different. Okay? God, now we know that. All right? Now we know that. God knew that a long time ago because he said right here in Revelation 20 and 13, he's going to do it. He's going to resurrect their DNA. Wherever they are, if they're in the sea, if they're in the dirt, I've been back where people were buried 4,000 years ago. Did you know that? I've been over there at the cave of Machpelah where Abraham and Sarah is buried, where Jacob and Joseph is buried. I didn't get to go down there and see the mummies of these people. I really didn't really want to care to see them, but I've been there where this happened. You go out here at the cemetery, out at the Union Cemetery. That's one of the oldest cemeteries here in Bakersfield. You go out there at that Union Cemetery. And how many of you remember Joaquin Marietta and his wild horse gang?
Yeah.
You know, that's Zorro. That's the Zorro that they wrote the movies about and everything. That's Joaquin Marietta. If you go out there, you will see a whole lot of his family in the Union Cemetery and some of his gang members out there. They're in the Union Cemetery. They died. One of them, Avelino Martinez, was about 120 years old when he died. He was a cook and worked up on the Tejon Ranch. After Joaquin Marietta's gangs broke up, they hired about 20 of his ex-gang members. Don Lopez says that he hired them so he could keep an eye on them. He hired them as cowboys up on the Tejon Ranch. We see all this kind of stuff. These people's bodies are out there. They're still in the ground. Whether they're saved or lost, we do not know. But one of these days, God's going to, all the saved ones, he's going to raise out of the ground. And all the lost ones, 1,000 years later, it's going to be resurrected. If they didn't get buried, and they're sitting out there in the dirt someplace of the Sahara Desert, or out there in Old River, where I live, where it blows bodies every which direction, dirt. How many of you have been out there when the dirt was this deep in my yards and stuff? I mean, there's some out there still this deep. I've seen it 6 feet deep out there, moving sand and bodies. There are bodies in that ground out there, people. There's dead bodies in that ground. They found out there, not very far from my house, they found a 7-foot-tall Indian out there years and years ago. All kinds of old burial grounds. Out there by Buena Vista Lake, there's all kinds of burial grounds out there that have been disturbed. They've filtered through that stuff and sand. They sifted the beads out of it. The beads came off these people's bodies, people. Those are burial grounds that they disturbed out there. Now, you supposedly not go out there and do it anymore, but they were out there digging them all up and everything else. I went up to Fish Lake Valley. I went up on the side of the hill behind my house, and there was an Indian burial ground up there, and some fools had gone up there and dug their bodies up. Where, who knows where all they went? But wherever they went, God's going to gather everybody up. Every bit of that DNA is going to be resurrected. Anastasia. That's the word. Anastasia. I remember long time ago, Brother Hubbard was preaching the book of Revelation for me. This was probably about 1979 or 80 or something like that. And he got up there, and he's a Greek genius. You know, he taught Greek for a lot of years. At that time, probably been teaching Greek 40 years, about as long as I have. And he got up there, and he did something like I do nowadays. He forgot what the word resurrection was. He got up there and he's trying to think of the word resurrection. He said, it's going to be the resurrection. He's resurrected. You know what he said? I can't remember that Greek word. Brother James, what's that word? Like that to me. Anastasia is what I've just seen if you knew it. Anastasia. That means to stand again. Everybody that's dead is going to stand again. They're going to stand up on their own two pegs before God. Brother Rex. Well, Romans, the first chapter, tells you that. They're going to be judged according to what light they had. They're going to be judged according to what revelation they had. You know, our people were in North America, the North American Indians, you know, they were pretty religious people. There weren't any atheists among them, and they believed God. They believed in a man's word. When they made a treaty, if they made a treaty 1,000 years ago, that treaty was still good. All right? And then when the white people came to this land, they were so happy to hear about the gospel. They were happy to hear about God. They had the book. And they were telling them what God, how God created. They said, oh yeah, we knew all that stuff. We knew all that. We knew this stuff. Yeah. And they had a name for the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They had all that. In Lakota, the Father's walking Tonka. The Son is Tonka Sheila. The Spirit is Skon Taku Skon Skon. They talked about this. Almost every one of them, they believed this, and they were so glad because they knew there was a sacrifice. There was a sacrifice to be made. They were groping for God in darkness, but then they had light. Okay? They could see things so greatly, and they were happy. They were happy with the message, but they were not very happy with the messengers. That was a story. They were happy with the message, but they weren't happy with the messengers, because the messengers did not live it. Simple as that. Brother Mike.
So people around the world can be saved without having heard the gospel.
What kind of light do they have? How did mankind... How do you think the Indians knew about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit?
I don't know. But
wait just a minute. Now, yes, you do. Yes, you do. No. How many people were over here in Adam's little palace in the garden?
Two.
And how did all these people live over here with the flood and everything else? Did they know about one true God? All of them?
Supposedly.
Every one of them did. When God divided the earth?
Oh, word of mouth.
Huh?
Word of mouth.
Well, we only had one mother and father in mankind. We only had one mother and father. The truth has been dispersed to all mankind.
It seemed to me like
they might have perverted it in some way, and it did. Well, look at the Canaanites over there. Canaan, the land of Canaan, as we studied this morning. Those people, last week we studied about the book of Judges and how they'd become just like the Israel had become like the Sodomites. And God didn't like that, did he? So they killed almost all the tribe, all the men of the tribe of Benjamin. Then had to go find wives for them because all of them sworn that they weren't going to give any of their daughters to them. So they went and captured some wives and gave them to them so they wouldn't be extinct. One of the tribes wouldn't be extinct. All mankind came from one place. If there's any light in the world, where did it come from? From the maker of all lights. All of them believe in what? They all believe there was a flood. They all believe the earth was divided. Every group in the world does. They believe that.
And also the part about that the nature or the...
Nature itself swears and declares the glory of God. It does. God will take care of all that judgment. We don't have to worry about that. Okay? He's going to take care of all. He's going to judge every man according to what light he has. Okay, what revelation he has and what light he has. Let's go on a little bit further. They're judged according to their works and judged according to their information that they have. 20 and verse 14. 20 and verse 14. got on a little bit further. Brother Rex.
Then the death and Hades were, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire.
Here we go again. Now look at your chart. Tell me the scriptures that relate to that. White throne judgment, lake of fire. Revelation 27 through 9. Here we go over here. And death and Hades, death and hell, are thrown into the lake of fire. That's the end of hell, people. Hades, that's the end of Hades. That's the end of Hades. Hades is thrown into the lake of fire. What does Hades mean? I like that. Either way, Hades. Hades, the place not seen. Sheol. Something like that. Sheol. Sheol. Sheol is a place asked about. The other one's a place not seen. Sheol and Hades are the same place. That's where you go when you die. You don't go to sleep. Your soul does not sleep. A lot of people teach slowly. You're Seventh-day Adventist. Well, who came from the Seventh-day Adventist? Who's the people who came from Seventh-day Adventist? Garner Ted's Armstrong Church of God, your Jehovah Witnesses, all these came from the Seventh-day Adventist. That's where they all came from, the same cultist teaching. Okay? All of this. Well, here they are. They're death and hell. They say there's going to be no more hell. There's not going to be no more Hades. But hell is the lake of fire. That's eternal hell fire, is the lake of fire. But Hades will be thrown into that. Every lost man is going to be resurrected in an asbestos body. In an asbestos body. That's what it says, asbestos. That's what the Greek word, asbestos. Their bodies are going to be resurrected in an asbestos body and thrown into the lake of fire, where they'll suffer forever and ever and ever. Forever and ever and ever. 20 and 14. Did we read that at all? We read it, didn't we?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now here we have the degrees of punishment. All right. 21. Revelation 21 and verse 1. Revelation 21 and verse 1. All right. Linda, you want to read that one for me?
Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. Coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
All right. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This word new here means new in refreshed, sterilized, new in quality. Okay, new in quality, Brother John.
Would this new heaven be the atmospheric first heaven, or does it include more than
that? The space is still going to be there. There's still going to be the galaxy. You know, God had to create the space to put all the galaxies in it, didn't he? All right. Now, how far outreaching into the galaxies? They talk about this Big Bang theory, didn't they? They said that everything exploded. They have recorded the sound of creation. They have done that. They have recorded the sound of creation when God spoke it into existence. And it exploded apart. And it is expanding. You know what they say? These people say that one of these days they're going to go out there so far and it's going to turn around and come back together. Zip. Right back where it started. Well, the Bible does say something about that, where everything will be one and in all and in you all and all of that, where everything comes back. I don't know everything about this type of situation. God has manned. There are extraterrestrial beings out there in space right now. I'm not talking about Martians or anything like that. I'm talking about demons and angels. All of the planets, as far as I'm concerned, they're probably all populated with demons and angels. There's a lot of them, aren't there? Myriads and myriads. That's thousands and hundreds of thousands of them out there. What's going to stop you from traveling to Mars or Pluto or Alpha Centauri or whatever. Marilyn likes to travel. Since she's been married to me, we haven't done much travel. We've been doing a hard time just staying in the house over there. Yeah, back and forth to the church. I got 50,000 miles on my car driving back and forth to church. That's all I use it for. I don't drive it otherwise, hardly at all. They just come back and forth to church. We've traveled. She knows every speck of dirt from here out there to Old River. Okay? Back and forth. It's an expedition, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Back and forth. But she'll probably get to be she'll get to be a traveler. Maybe she'll go to Mars or someone, go out there looking around in outer space someplace. I don't know. You're going to have a garden. Okay. God will let you be a gardener then, maybe. Well, I guess you'll eat if you want to. We won't be killing any creatures again. We're going to be like it was before over there. The creatures are going to be our companions over there. Maybe, you know, people have asked me, what about my dogs that died, my pets that died? Will they get to be over there? I don't know. Maybe. God's probably going to have room for all of that if he wants. How would you like to be reunited with all your buddies? Wouldn't that be nice?
Then some of the animals have to go to hell, then maybe some have to go to heaven.
I think animals just...
They got different spirits in them, some of them.
Well, now we know that demon spirits will want to inhabit human or animal flesh. We know one time in those swine over there in the New Testament, those had a will and they didn't want to live, so they jumped in the lake. See a Galilee over there and drowned themselves. But we don't know about all this kind of stuff. This is something we're just walking on, stuff we don't know about. But maybe it's possible. All things are possible with God like that. Why, there's no telling other pleasures that we can't even imagine in the future pleasures. Paul says, why, the future glories of heaven, he said, doesn't compare anything. Well, you can't even compare this present world to the future glory of heaven. You can't even compare it. It says New Jerusalem, the city of New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, having been adorned as a bride for her husband. And that's when a bride looks really good, right at the wedding. You know, that's when she usually looks the best. She's all dressed up and cleaned up and shined up and got her fingernails done, her lips all painted up and her face painted. All that, you know, I mean, she looked real good. Adorned for her husband. There are a couple of sevens. The seven no's of eternity. No more sea. No more sorrow. No more crying. No more pain. No more curse. No more night. No more death. And there's not going to be a temple. Another. No temple. No more sacrifices. No sun. No moon. No night. No locked gates. And no sin. Or abominations. Those are some good no's, aren't they? Real good no's. No more sea. Why won't there be a sea? What's the sea for? What's the ocean for today?
It purifies
this ungodly earth. It purifies, it tries to purify all the pollution that we make. All the pollution.
And there probably won't be any demons.
No, there aren't going to be any demons in the new one. There's not going to be any sin. There's not going to be anything. No more sea, because we won't need to clean up the earth, because it's going to be clean. No more sorrow. No more crying. No more pain. No more curse. No more night. No more death. No more temple. No more sacrifice. No sun. No moon. No night. No locked gates. No sin. No locked gates. I remember when we were young, we didn't even have a lock on the house. Matter of fact, the house I lived in didn't even have a door on it. Had a flap. Just a flap where you flapped in and you flapped out. That was the way it was. Kind of like brought over from the Indian days. You know, there's a bunch of Indians living there. There won't be any flies over there either. Them Indians used to get drunk and get the rifle out and shoot flies off the wall. No more flies. I remember when I was young, we lived miserable like. when you got ready to eat dinner, you had to take a fly, a towel, or whatever else, and try to chase the flies out of the house and pull the flap down so they wouldn't get in so you could sit there and eat in peace a little bit. You remember that, Brother Rex? That's the good old days.
Oh, yeah.
The good old days. You remember that, Mama?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd do it again if I had a chance.
Let all them kids of St. Paul get drunk and start shooting the flies off the walls, beating each other up. But there was good times in between. Good times in between. You know what? We won't have anything but good times for millions of years. Millions of years of good times. The good memories. The first 1,000,000 years, the second 1,000,000 years, the third 1,000,000 years. Well, we'll quit right there. 20 and verse 3 is where we'll start next week. 21 and verse 3.